I have always liked trees. In my early childhood, growing up in East Texas, I was always impressed with the variety and largeness of trees compared to my small stature as a child. But in Texas, there were not enough evergreen trees. Winters were very barren and very brown, and I didn't like that. When I was in middle school, we moved to Colorado. There were more evergreen trees there, and I liked that. It was nice to go skiing in the winter and have the contrast of green trees against the white snow. Also, when we first moved to Colorado, there was a tree behind the parking lot behind our house between buildings that was my climbing tree. When I needed time alone and away from other things, I would climb this tree. I would savor the solitude and seclusion I felt in the midst of this tree as I watched grounded people go on their way to and fro. When I began high school, we moved from town to the country, and I inherited a treehouse someone else had built in one of the trees along the irrigation ditch about a quarter of a mile from our house. From that treehouse, the valley stretched out before me, and I could see the cottonwood trees in the distance along the riverbank of the Gunnison River. Thus, I found a place of escape when needed in this new tree home away from home. After all, my formal schooling was finished and I had an opportunity to move to Western Washington. I was thrilled because I knew that it was a place of trees, more trees, and more evergreen trees than anywhere I had ever lived. Though not true of everyone, evidently there is something in my spirit, in my makeup, which likes, needs, and revels in trees. So, this week, as I read the familiar story of Zacchaeus, besides having that childhood song stuck as an earworm in my head all week, something else caught my attention. For the first time, I paid attention to the importance of the tree in this story. In the first two verses of the story, the stage is set. We find out that Jesus entered and was passing through the town of Jericho. We also find out that there is a rich man, a chief tax collector named Zacchaeus, who was trying to see what was going on and who it was, evidently attracting a crowd while simply passing through town. Handicapped by his short stature and the height and depth of the crowd in front of him, Zacchaeus can't see. Being proactive, he runs ahead of everyone else and climbs a sycamore tree so he is positioned above the crowd and can see Jesus as he approaches. I am told that the tree in the picture on the screen is a sycamore tree. So the person in it helps us visualize how Zacchaeus might have been positioned that day in Jericho. With the help of a tree, not only does Zacchaeus succeed in seeing Jesus, but more importantly, Jesus sees Zacchaeus. Jesus calls to Zacchaeus to come down from the tree because he must stay at his house today. Jesus doesn't ask if he can stay with Zacchaeus. Rather, he makes a public pronouncement that of all the houses he might have stayed in when he was in Jericho, he has chosen to stay with Zacchaeus, realizing the favor he has been given. Zacchaeus is overjoyed and hurries to come down and welcome Jesus to his home. The other residents of Jericho are vocally resentful that this favor has fallen upon Zacchaeus, a disreputable tax collector who, in their eyes, was a sinner and unworthy of being singled out by Jesus in this way. So it is that with the help of a tree, Zacchaeus formed a connection with Jesus that not only provided clarity as to who Jesus was, but resulted in clarity about Zacchaeus. More important than who Zacchaeus was, however, was who Zacchaeus could become. His encounter with Jesus led him to that which was asked of God's people in today's reading from Isaiah, read to us by Reed and Silas. Zacchaeus ceased to do evil, learned to do good, and sought justice. I learned for the first time from my study of the text this week that the name Zacchaeus can literally be translated as justice. Thus, one could say that in this story, justice meets Jesus. When that happens, restorative justice emerges, as which not only restores the relationship between Zacchaeus and God, but also restores Zacchaeus's relationship with those he has defrauded by more than compensating them for their losses. It also compels him, in his wealth, to seek a relationship of blessing with those who are poor. Sarah, Silas, and Reed, in just a few minutes, you have an opportunity to stand before this congregation and state your intention to continue in the covenant that God made with each of you in holy baptism. You will be asked if you will continue to live among God's faithful people to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, and to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. You will then have an opportunity to respond as those who have been confirmed before you with the response, "I do, and I ask God to help and guide me." Now, the second part of that response is as important as the first part. It is only with God's help and guidance that any of us can continue in a covenantal relationship with God. Inspired by today's gospel text, may I be bold to suggest to you that God's help may come in the form of a tree. It may come in the form of a tree if we use tree as a metaphor for the church. Like the tree did for Zacchaeus, the church is capable of lifting you up above that which is preventing you from seeing Jesus and seeing who Jesus really is. Most likely, there will be a few things in your future that will cause you to temporarily lose sight of Jesus. Lack of clarity may come from good-intentioned but misdirected advice. It may come from a loss of confidence, a loss of innocence, a loss of your bearings as to who you have been called to be and what you have been called to do. Whether you experience these or other things in extreme or very subtle ways, the church is the place which reconnects you with Jesus and what Jesus has called you to be and has called you to do. Church is a place where you remember who you are and who God is through living with God's people, hearing God's word, eating at God's table, voicing good news by what you say and what you do, serving people, not just church people, but all people, by looking to the example of Jesus. If you do all these things, you will also be practicing restorative justice and helping bring peace to the earth, because church is the place where you are remembered, reconnected to the body of Christ, which is the church. Like a tree, the church lifts you up and is a place in which you may find shelter and solace, sometimes even your hiding place, like the psalmist said in today's psalm. Yet, you don't remain in this tree, and you don't remain isolated in the church, secluded from others and secluded from the world. Having been granted clarity, Jesus calls you down from the tree to live out the covenant of the baptism you affirm this day. Yet you will continually climb up the tree and climb down the tree, because as people of God, we need trees. As people of God, we need the church, and the church needs us. As people of God, we are the church. And as one of the pastors of this specific congregation, I am thrilled that I have been called to serve alongside the three of you in God's church today, tomorrow, and all the days that follow. Thanks be to God. Amen.